Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka, Text Number 20. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Expert dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, and learned speakers all gave their respective contributions. Being inspired by the superhuman pastimes of the Lord, thus they proceeded on and on. Purport. It appears that 5,000 years ago, the society also needed the services of the dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, public speakers, etc. Dancers, singers, and dramatic artists mostly hailed from the Shudra community, whereas the learned historians, genealogists, and public speakers hailed from the Brahmin community. All of them belonged to a particular caste, and they became so trained in their respective families. Such dramatists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, and public speakers would dwell on the subject of the dancers, singers, and dramatic artists mostly hailed from the Shudra community, whereas the learned historians, genealogists, and public speakers hailed from the Brahmin community. All of them belonged to a particular caste, and they became so trained in their respective families. Such dramatists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, and public speakers would dwell on the subject of the Lord's superhuman activities in different ages and millenniums, and not in ordinary events, nor were they in chronological order. All the Puranas or historical facts described only in relation with the Supreme Lord in different times, different ages and times, as well as on different planets also. Therefore, we do not find any chronological order. The modern historians, therefore, cannot catch up the link, and thus they unauthoritatively remark that the Puranas are all imaginary stories only. Even 100 years ago, in India, all dramatic performances were centered around the superhuman activities of the Supreme Lord. The common people would be verily entertained by the performances of the dramas, and yatra parties played wonderfully on the superhuman activities of the Lord. And thus, even the illiterate agriculturalist would be a participant and the knowledge of the Vedic literature, despite a considerable lack of academic qualifications. Therefore, expert players in drama, dancers, singers, speakers, etc., are required for the spiritual enlightenment of the common man. The geologist would give account completely of the descendants of a particular family. Even at the present moment, the guides in the pilgrimage sites of India submit a complete account of geological tables before a newcomer. This wonderful act sometimes attracts more customers to receive such important information. Nata Narataka Gandharva Sutamagara Vandina Kayanti Chautama Shloka Charitanya Bhutanicha. Expert dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, geologists, genealogists, and learned speakers all gave their respective contributions. Being inspired by the superhuman pastimes of the Lord, thus they proceed on and on. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Buddhaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Taramane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Bhajarane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya Desitarne. In modern society, art, music, dance, theater, play a very prominent role in the culture of modern society. Matter of fact, culture means in modern society to go to the movies, or if one is very cultured, to go to see a play. And of course, in modern society, most of the movies and plays do not deal with the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Most of them deal with the activities of the mudha incarnations, mudha avatars. So, here in contrast, culture, or the Vedic culture, is that there was plays and dramas and music, but they were done by a class of persons, and some of them are mentioned here, the artists, the actors, the singers, came from the Shudra class. And that meant that the Shudra class didn't get paid for their particular services. In modern society, if one is a good singer or an expert actor, then he gets paid more, sometimes thousands or millions of times more than an expert teacher. That if a person knows the truth and can express it, then people become very disturbed and he's labeled a cultist. And if one is an illusion and can, in his illusion, display another illusion, in other words, in this material world, everyone is illusion by identifying or misidentifying oneself with the material body and the mind. So if one in such an illusion can also demonstrate other illusions, within the illusion, create another illusion, then he's considered to be very advanced. So this is generally known as Maya. And in the Bhagavatam it says, Idam hi pumsas tapasas srutasya va svistasya suktasya chaburi datayo avichutorata kavibir nirupito yet uttama shloka gunar nuvaranam. Learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, namely austerity, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of Vedic hymns, and charity, culminates in the transcendental descriptions of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. So Prabhupada, he used to quote this verse, especially when he would meet with educated persons, and try to encourage them to engage their particular service in Krishna's service, their particular talents. That ultimately everything is meant to please Krishna, and that whatever talents or abilities one has, that can also be utilized in a, as Prabhupada defined it, as in a cultural revolution that should bring about a change in the misdirected material world, consciousness and modern civilization. It is said, Yad Vachas Chitra Padam Hayaryasho Jagat Pravritam Pravrikrita Karichit Tidvayasam Tirtam Ushanti Manasa Nayatraham Sa Niramantu Shikshaya. Those words which do not describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose glories can at once purify the entire universe, are said to be like words or descriptions meant for the crows. The all-perfect persons, they don't find any pleasure there because they're residents of the transcendental abode. In this world, there are always two classes of men, the swans and the crows. So the swans, they take pleasure in nice lakes where there are lotus flowers and nice breezes and everything is very clean and pure. And the crows, they find that abominable. They take refuge in the garbage places, where there is nice, filthy garbage, fresh and hot. And in this world, Prabhupada mentions that there are always two classes of people, the crow-like men and the swan-like people, and it is not according to how much money they have, or how much material education they have, or even their bodily beauty, It has to do with their consciousness. So those who have faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who take pleasure in hearing about His glories, they're known as sadhavas, honest. Because after all, if you're, Prabhupada gives an example of wet stool and dry stool. In India, at least, people go on the fields and they pass stool there. We've all heard that example before. And generally there is a disagreement between two parties. Some of them, they think that the side of the stool which bakes, or which is baked by the sun, that's pure. And the side that's not baked by the sun, that remains moist, is impure. But after all, the subject matter is stool. Pure or impure. Remains for anyone to take their side, but after all, basically speaking, it's, the conversation is not very, it's not a very, very pure subject. So similarly, those who take pleasure in the material world, either in the mode of goodness or in the mode of passion or the mode of ignorance, they remain within the material conception. And they can actually be considered sadhava. Now, let's see, how is that? Yad vichas chitra padara. So, yad, yad. What's the next verse? Tadvag vishago tad janaktagla viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abharavatyapi namanyanantashi shankitani yat shinvanti gayanti grinanti sarva. So those who are actually sarvas, they realize that their mission is to spread the glories of Krishna, or at least to accept the glories of Krishna. Those words, on the other hand, those words which are of a transcendental nature, which are meant to bring about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization, although they may be imperfectly composed, are heard about, are sung about, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. To understand that the value of anything in the material world is valuable only because it's related to Krishna, these persons are called sadhavas. The example is given that you may have so many zeros, and if you have millions of zeros and you add them all up, the result is, for those who are not mathematicians, the result is zero. As I mentioned before, Prabhupada, one time when he was writing to one Gurukul student, he mentioned that the Gurukul student, he was sending him his mathematical, what he was learning in math. That 2 plus 2 is equal to 4, 2 plus 3 is equal to 5. So Prabhupada said that this is very nice, but I hope you're learning this mathematics, that Krishna plus anywhere is equal to Vrindavan. So Prabhupada said that if you learn this mathematics, then your mathematics will be successful. So similarly in the material world, there may be very expert presenters of art or music. And of course nowadays it's become degraded that someone has throws some paint on a canvas and gets a bunch of monkeys to step on all of the campus with the paint, the canvas with the paint on it, and it's considered a very valuable work of art. Or Prabhupada once mentioned they take some sticks and they put it on a canvas, and that's considered to be very avant-garde art. I remember one time when I was a student at the university, they had an Andy Warhol film. I don't know if anyone here knows Andy Warhol. But for 3 hours, they had a film of the Empire State Building. And the film was just for 40 minutes, they just show the Empire State Building, then he for another 40 minutes, the other side of the Empire State Building. So I couldn't figure it out. Because either you were completely on drugs, that was the only way you could possibly appreciate it, you had to be crazy to sit there for 3 hours looking at the Empire State Building. But people paid money, and they sat there for 3 hours because it was considered to be art. But whether it's art or not, the point is that the ultimate benefit is there is no ultimate benefit. On the other hand, the example is given. One time one of the artists was showing Prabhupada different paintings. And the different paintings, Prabhupada was looking at them of Krishna and saying, oh, that's very nice, that's very nice. So then the artist asked Prabhupada, which painting did you like the best? He said, oh, they're all very nice. And then he said, which painting do you think look most like Krishna? And Prabhupada said, they all look like Krishna. And so the next day, the devotee brought Prabhupada some photos, pictures that the Gurukul students had done. And it was more or less stick figures of Krishna, and said, Prabhupada, does this look like Krishna? And he said, yes, they look like Krishna. He said, what? He said that these are just like stick figures. But Prabhupada said, no, look here, there's the peacock feather here, there's the flute, so they all look like Krishna. All right. Of course, Radha Gopinath looked the most like Krishna. Because he is Krishna. And indeed, we saw with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was at Jagannath Puri, he'd see Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. He wouldn't exactly see Lord Jagannath as we see Lord Jagannath, at least as I see Lord Jagannath. He'd see the son of Nanda Maharaj holding a flute. And then one lady jumped on his shoulders to see Lord Jagannath because it was so crowded. And at this time, Govinda asked the lady to please get down. You're stepping on the, not only on the Garuda Stambha, but you're stepping on the shoulders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya said, my dear Govinda Adivas, uncultured man, why is it that you're discouraging this lady? If only I had one fraction of the amount of eagerness to see Lord Jagannath as she has, then certainly my life would become successful. In other words, if one is eager to see Krishna, then one will be able to perceive Krishna and appreciate him everywhere. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Krishna book, that the whole world is full of Krishna singing, but everyone is understanding in different ways. That everyone is dancing with Krishna, but those who are dancing, obeying Krishna's instructions, they're dancing in his rasa dance, and those who are dancing, imitating Krishna, trying to become Krishna, they're dancing with Krishna's maya. Therefore, even this so-called art, Romeo and Juliet and all the other varieties, Romeo and Juliet manifests itself as the West Side Story, and then I guess it went on to other things. All these things, Urdvamalama Dakshakam, Ashvatam Prahur Aviyam, Shadamsi Yasya Parnani, Yastvam Veda Saveda Vet. That there is a banyan tree, has its roots upward and its branches down, and the Vedic hymns are its leaves, that one who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. So this material world is just a reflection of the real world, and similarly everything here in this material world is just a reflection of the actual spiritual world. And one who can understand that, he can pick up that in everything essentially there is the relationship between Krishna and his devotees. Sometimes it's presented directly and sometimes indirectly. And therefore, even the modern stories, even the modern songs, even the modern theater, is all really based upon the transcendental activities of Krishna, but is just presented in an indirect or a limited or a perverted way. Sometimes we heard the Prabhupada, he was on an airplane, they played one time a Charlie Chaplin film. And Prabhupada Patili liked Charlie Chaplin. So he looked at it with quite a bit of attention, the film. So the devotees were quite surprised. And Prabhupada in his youth, he used to appreciate Charlie Chaplin. So when we watch a Charlie Chaplin film, we may not get the same transcendental realizations that Prabhupada got from them. But he even used them in the Bhagavatam sometimes. So in this way, we could go to the movies and see Krishna everywhere. But we could. I didn't say we could. But it's doubtful. Especially modern movies, it would be doubtful whether we would actually be able to pick up upon the transcendental connection they have with Krishna. On the other hand, previously all the movies and the books, everything was, not perhaps in the Western world, but at least in India, was all connected with Krishna and his pastimes. Even 50 years, even 20 years ago, whatever, there were many films put out in India all about Krishna and his activities. Many of them which we have here, about Sudama Brahman, about Ramayan, Sita's wedding, about Haridas Thakur, or the great devotees, Mirabai, Tukaram. And they're very devotional films all about Krishna. And somehow or another, with the introduction of Kali Yuga, films are still going on, but I don't think very many are about Krishna. Although when they do put out a film about Krishna, like they had the Mahabharata in India, I don't know, maybe it's 50 episodes or maybe even more than that, all of India stopped. Nothing went on during when they showed the Mahabharata. People would close their shops. They, you know, even if they were taking a bath, they'd immediately run out of the bath without drying themselves. Everything stopped as soon as the Mahabharata went on. Because people are naturally appreciative of the heroic activities of Krishna and his devotees. But somehow or another, due to the lack of knowledge, people have become misdirected. So Prabhupada wanted that this International Society for Krishna Consciousness develop a cultural revolution which was based upon art and music, theater, and all centered around distribution of transcendental knowledge and especially book distribution. Because when transcendental knowledge is there, specifically in the form of Prabhupada's books, then everything can be understood properly. And in the light of Krishna consciousness, then naturally all the art, music, etc., and culture will be there all in relationship to Krishna. Just like when the sun is there, then naturally there is no question of darkness. Krishna, Surya, Sama, Maya, Haya, Andhakar, Yahun Krishna, Tahun Maya, Haya, Andhakar. So naturally, if Krishna consciousness is there, then the cultural revolution will be all in relationship to Krishna. So Prabhupada, and here it also mentions that generally people, they're going to go to the movies, they're going to hear a drama, they're going to appreciate singing, because that is the nature of enjoyment. Even in the spiritual world, at night after Krishna comes home and he herds the cows, that Nanda Maharaj and all the residents of Vrindavan, they go to a theatrical performances, they watch dancers, they hear singers, there's genealogists reciting different genealogical tables. All these things are also in the spiritual world. That these things are enjoyment, and everyone is here for enjoyment. Everyone exists because they want to enjoy. So these are the naturally objects of enjoyment. But when they're in relationship to Krishna, then they give one transcendental enlightenment, and when they're not seen in relation to Krishna, they put one into material consciousness. So Prabhupada wanted that these things which will naturally be utilized by people in general, they be utilized in a transcendental way. And luckily, the culture, the previous culture, just like there's one video of Krishna, I think Kali Katha, what is that called? There was a Sudama Brahman, and there at night the villagers, what is that? Kalikata? It's dramatical performances performed in South India. Where they dress up, for sometimes it takes them 2 or 3 hours to put on the makeup. The devotees here haven't seen that. And then they have the dramatical performances for the entire night. What's that? Something. And very beautiful, all centered around Krishna, and very beautiful dancing and music and costumes, and it's all based upon Krishna's transcendental pastimes. So people would spend the whole night seeing that, and in the morning then they just go to work. Practically speaking, people would give up their sleeping just to see these dramatical performances at night. If you go to Bangladesh, I heard that life begins there, just like in the West, life begins around 10 o'clock at night. That's when people wake up and suddenly they get some energy. So similarly, even in places like Bangladesh, the same thing goes on. At 10 o'clock at night, that's when life begins, but their life is hearing devotional music, hearing lectures about Krishna, all things, all centered around devotional activities. And therefore, by the end of the night, instead of feeling tired, they feel transcendentally enlivened. Also mentioned in this purport, Prabhupada says that the puranas, which is the sources of these transcendental narrations and theater and songs, they're all historical accurate, although the modern historians don't accept them. First of all, they deal with superhuman activities, and anything that goes beyond the capacity of modern scientists to understand, they reject as mythological. If they hear about Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill or Krishna going to some other planet, naturally they reject it as being mythological, because they have no ability to do such a thing, nor have they ever seen anyone with such an ability. And it doesn't support their current theories and speculations. And even if something is found, as Trutakarma has pointed out, Trutakarma Prabhu, even they find evidence, they find the evidence that goes against their current theories on evolution, on the origins of man, then what they do is they suppress the evidence. That's even the evidence that they find. For instance, there was one person in Brazil. He found some bones, and they found out that the bones were more than 250,000 years old, and they were of an anatomically modern man. But according to modern theorists, modern man didn't enter into South America until 40,000 years ago. So these bones were obviously wrong. There was something wrong with the bones. Unfortunately for the person who found them, he didn't agree with it. And therefore what they did is they fired him from his job, they removed him, they scandalized him, they drove him out, and then the bones which he had found, which were put in a museum, mysteriously disappeared. Maybe some dog came along and grabbed them. So in this way, even there's evidence that goes against their current theories that they reject it, even as found by authorized scientists, their own people. Buddhakarma's book was based upon simply collecting old literature, newspaper articles, magazine articles, scientific articles put out by professional scientists and in sometimes authorized journals, which simply were the findings of scientists which contradict modern theories. And some of the findings were just like in America, they were digging for gold and they found some ore in order to dig for gold, just like outside here we hear a boom once in a while. The building shakes a little bit. So they use dynamite. So they're dynamiting one place, and one big ball came up and cracked, and inside the crack was this metal vase with pictures of flowers painted on it. So the estimation of the earth in which it was found was something like maybe 400 million years old. So this was obviously embarrassing. So they rejected the flowers, that they couldn't have been made by a human being because they were too nice. So it must have been made by an ape or something. Whatever they did, they simply... It was published in a newspaper, and the scientists investigated. They determined that this was 400 million years old, the strata of layer of rock, and then they just forgot about it. And there are many other things that the devotees who worked on Drudha Karma's book, they investigated, and they found out, they discovered from these sources of scientific sources of information, but they're all rejected. So what to speak if we present Srimad Bhagavatam about people who are 18 feet tall, and they were small. That was the last age, Dwarpa Yuga. And that one of them woke up at the beginning of Kali Yuga and was looking at the big trees, and they thought they were little bushes, realized that everyone had shrunk. Or we can point out so many other things, that there are cities of demigods where people fly around on flower airplanes, on swans, and that they have all mystic powers. They can fly from planet to planet. Some of the sages, they go from planet to planet on the rays of the sun. That there are demons and who fight with the Supreme Lord in the form of a boar, and they're half the size of the universe. So people can't, generally, this is not so difficult for the scientists to reject, as either the product of primitive imagination or mythological. And indeed, when some devotees once approached Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, how can we believe that King Ugrasena, at this time in the Krishna book, had said he had 4 quadrillion bodyguards? And how can we believe that the number of tutors that were there to educate the Yadu dynasty was 32 million? So how can we believe these things? So Prabhupada's answer to them was, don't believe them. Why are you so much concerned about these things? Why don't you just study the part that you can understand? In other words, in the Vedic literature, there is a part that's understandable that we try to present, such as the fact that we're not this body. So that part they reject. They don't try to study, which is within the realm of one's investigation. For instance, it's a fact we can't go back and find out whether or not King Ugrasena actually only had something like, I think it was 4 trillion. The number was reduced. Quadrillion was too much. Four trillion bodyguards. Could you imagine lining up for Pashana? Especially if you are the end of the line. So Prabhupada said, why are you so much concerned about this part of the Bhagavatam? Why not study the part of the Bhagavatam where Krishna is explaining how you're not this body? Because that is within the realm of our experience. That we can see the difference between the modern so-called scientific understanding, where life comes from life, and the Bhagavatam version, that spirit and matter are different. So that's within the realm of our investigation, appreciation. And from that standing point, then one can develop and gradually develop faith in the things that go beyond our experience. But according to the Bhagavatam, the Mahabharata, one should not try to understand things from one's own limited point of view, which go beyond one's ability to perceive. Instead, one should try to deal with those parts of the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita which actually within our realm of understanding and investigation. But still, we find that, for instance, in the art, the music, the movies, these things are not are presented. But then, for instance, what is the difficulty in understanding that Krishna, when he was 7 years old, maybe he was eight, got a little bit bigger, when he was 8 years old, he lifted the Govardhan Hill. No, he was only seven, actually. When he was eight, he danced with the gopis. He lifted the Govardhan Hill with his left pinky and held it up for 7 days, all the while twirling a lotus flower in that same hand. Now try and just imagine holding up a book this big with your left pinky. Immediately it starts to hurt, and then try and twirl a lotus flower at the same time. So you can start with a piece of paper, see how long you can do it. So Krishna, as a child 7 years old, without any previous experience of weightlifting, he held up the Govardhan Hill in his left pinky for 7 days, twirling a lotus flower all the time, without anyone eating or sleeping. So they say that this is quite amazing. But actually it's not that amazing when you consider that same person is supporting all their planets, all these countless number of planets in their orbits for billions and billions of years. Therefore, if he comes and picks up a little hill the size of Govardhan, what is the difficulty for him? Because Prabhupada said he knew how to do it. And similarly, if one, the example is given, which we won't go into detail, it's getting late, but the story of the Brahmin and the cobbler, how Narada Muni was passing by, and the cobbler and the Brahmin inquired from him, "Where? How many lifetimes it will take before I go back to Vaikuntha?" So Narada Muni, when he saw Narayan, he said, "The Brahmin, he's very puffed up. He has no real faith in me. He'll come back. Who knows when he's coming back? I can't figure it out. You'll have to ask an astrologer. I can't figure it out." So he said, "But the cobbler, he'll come back and this is his last life." So Narada Muni was very surprised and said, "How is it that this Brahmin, who's performing so many sacrifices, he's so austere, he's so brahminical, how is it that no one can figure out, even you, when he's coming back to the spiritual world? But this cobbler, he's muchi, he's engaged in a abominable activity of taking skins and cutting them up and making shoes out of them. How is it that he's coming back in this very lifetime?" Lord Narayan says, "Well, just tell them when you see them, if they ask what I was doing, just tell them I was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle." So those who have difficulty visualizing this, next time you go to Mayapur, you can take your needle with you. And there's a little elephant there. And you can go next to the elephant and try imagine how you're going to thread the elephant through the eye of a needle. Just tell him I was doing it. So of course when the Brahmin heard that he wasn't coming, when he saw Narada Muni and he heard he wasn't coming back to the spiritual world in the very near future, he became very disturbed. How is it that a soul as great as me wouldn't go back immediately to the spiritual world? So he said, "I don't believe that you saw Narayan. What was he doing anyhow?" And when Narada Muni mentioned to him that he's threading an elephant through the eye of a needle, the Brahmin said, "Oh, this is humbug. This is unscientific. This is not possible. Mythological. He never saw Narayan." But when he mentioned to the cobbler that he was coming back in this very lifetime, and the cobbler was very ecstatic and said, "What was my Lord doing?" And when Narada Muni told him he was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle, the Brahmin became even more ecstatic. So Narada Muni said, "How can you believe this? Are you just brainwashed? Or are you brainless? You just, whatever people tell you, believe? You're one of the people who used to accept candy from strangers, right? So he said, no, he said, my Lord is so great that if you look at these trees that were underneath, this banyan tree, there are so many millions and millions of fruits. And each one of these fruits, there's so many seeds, and each one of these seeds, there's another banyan tree. So my Lord is so great that in a little seed he can put a huge tree as the size of this banyan tree. So why couldn't he thread an elephant through the size of the eye of a needle? So one who actually learns to see things progressively in spiritual knowledge, then he begins to appreciate that the wonderful things are already going on. The mystic power of Krishna is displayed all around us. It is not that if we hear some other seemingly incredible, or which are incredible, activities of the Supreme Lord that we should be surprised, because the sun is moving in its orbit every day. We see an unlimited, powerful sun full of heat and light, which is giving us exactly the amount of heat and light to sustain life on this planet, that who has provided such a wonderful thing as the sun? Who has provided the moon to cool us during the day, the sun to heat us at night, water to quench our thirst, the ability to eat and digest, assimilate and eliminate the food that we eat? All these things are supplied by the wonderful Yogeshwara, or the master of all mystic power. So those who train their eyes to see with knowledge will be able to appreciate Krishna at every step of life, and will be able to appreciate even more when they hear about his wonderful pastimes that he displays in different incarnations on this planet. So that comes with knowledge. Although at first people who are unfamiliar with the Vedic knowledge, who try to jump to the most esoteric parts of the Vedic knowledge, may not be able to appreciate, but those who study it step by step, they'll be able to gradually broaden their understanding and appreciation of the Supreme Lord and his activities. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes.
You said everything in the material world is somehow related to Krishna. How can we see that things like darkness or suffering are related to Krishna?
You study the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, you'll be able to see it. Just like it says, Krishna Surya Sama Mayai Andhakar, that darkness is simply the absence of light, and Krishna is light. So darkness is simply the absence of the perception that there's something other than Krishna. But without Krishna's arrangement, there can't be, since Krishna is everywhere and everything is under his control, without his arrangement, there can't be the apparent absence of Krishna. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Prabhupada Ki Jai.